Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed on AM360 by the host, hostesses, or guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the community-wide Shure Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific and personal medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to consult an advisor for your specific circumstances.
Sam Omar, just wait for recording in progress.
This meeting is being recorded.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the perfect praise belongs to God, the Lord of all systems of knowledge. The merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, the sole judge on the day of judgment. We worship you on and we turn to you, begging your assistance. Guide us on the straight way, the way of those on whom you have bestowed your blessings, not those who incur your wrath, nor those who go astray. Amen.
Ameen. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. I bear witness and I believe in all of Allah's prophets from Adam to Muhammad. I believe that Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, is a mercy to all mankind. I just want to say to all of you who find that Study Al-Islam is inspiring. There's a lot of time that goes into planning Study Al-Islam, a lot of thought. And inshallah, in 2025, if Allah gives me life, we are going to have a very inspiring program. We have Imam Wazir, who will be providing for us intense study on hadith. We have Imam Rashad, who will be providing intense study on what is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran. Because we can't do what God says if we don't know what God says. And so we're going to learn that. And then we're going to do a sisters to sisters program on issues that impact us, but also it is not exclusively for women. So we hope that the men will join us and learn more about the issues of women according to our understanding of the Quran. And then we're going to have a global program where we're going to learn about Islam in different countries, where I am going to invite those who live in the country to talk to us and tell us what is this, how is Islam practiced in their country. So let's move on. So you know that this month is dedicated to caring for our aging parents and community members, but also I'm in that category and many of you. So last week we heard from caregivers. If you missed last week, you can visit studyalislam.com and listen to the recording from last week. Of course, our first source of guidance comes from the Quran. That's our first source, not what we think, not what our families think, not what our husband or our wife think. It's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran. So our speaker is Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, a familiar name to all of us. He is the founder, director, and instructor of the Institute of Quran Study and Leadership. Welcome, Imam Rashad.
Okay. Oh, I'm trying to unmute. I'm not usually on the side where I have to. I'm usually the host. I use Zoom all the time, so now I don't know this side of it. But assalamu alaikum. Thank you for having me. I'm very grateful to be here, and this is a very a beautiful topic. I don't think I'm going to really need to open up the page too much. I'll just sort of speak into it. But this I want to start with just focusing on or mentioning or reminding us what the topic is, the guidance in the Quran and the traditions of Prophet Muhammad regarding caring for our transitioning parents, family, and friends. What's interesting about this, there's a lot that comes to mind. I'm going to focus on a particular term. I'm going to have a particular term before me as I make these comments, and the term is mercy. The term is mercy, because I see that even when I'm reading with about the other topics that have been presented, that's really the dominant term that comes to mind from the Quran, from the prophetic tradition. When I think about the idea of caring for the aging, caring for the sick, caring for the elderly, so on and so forth. And the reason why mercy is so important to us is that we are told in a sound hadith of our prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, that when Allah created the heavens and the earth, he made the statement that my mercy goes before, it goes ahead of my wrath or my anger. In other words, let me move this down a little bit. In other words, the mercy of God is everywhere. It's literally everywhere. And all of us are familiar with the fact that every verse of the Quran, it begins with, I'm not every verse, every surah, pardon me, begins with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Every surah except for the ninth. So it begins with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. And this idea, the name of Allah as the merciful benefactor, it refers to the fact that Allah himself, he possesses mercy to the, it's limitless. There's no way to quantify or to understand it even. But the measure in which we can understand it is that Allah created everything in this universe, everything in the world to support our life, to nurture our life, to feed our life. And the direct source of nurturing of our life that we have is our parents. First, the body, the physical body of our mother, then the family environments in which we live in. And when we come forth from our mothers as innocent babies, so we know that we have exceptions to the rules, that there are things that occur in our life. But in many situations, I would say the majority of situations, the mother is there. We're not only forming in her body, we're feeding from her body. We are being sensitized by her body, just the skin-on-skin touch. And the father, ideally, is providing for her what she needs to be at peace or comfortable to perform her job. This is really why the ninth surah doesn't have the basmala. We don't have to begin the ninth surah with Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. It's connected to the idea because the ninth month, this number nine, it connects in both the Bible and the Quran to the time of life, as it's called in the scripture, before the Quran. And when we come into the world, the whole of it, the child itself is an expression of God's mercy to us because it's pure creation. Every pure creation is an expression of God's mercy. And the means by which it forms this initial attachments to the world, as I mentioned, the body of the mother, the food from the mother, etc., all of this is how we understand Allah's mercy in the most beautiful way, in a practical way. So that ninth surah doesn't begin with that statement, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, as a hint to the wise. But also it is because of this relationship that we have with our mothers, our fathers, the elder members of our family, that eventually we reach, or we are really perpetually in a state of indebtedness. We are indebted to God, yes. But what cannot be missed, as our prophet, he said, prayers and peace be upon him, those who are not thankful to the people are not thankful to Allah. And the gratitude, or how we express gratitude to Allah as it pertains to our parents or the elderly, those who are ahead of us, is that we have to care for them as they cared for us when we were young and helpless. So there's a beautiful portion of Quran. Many of us are familiar with it. I'll read it in Arabic. I'll try to do it at a nice speed so as to not take up too much time. Well, Allah, he says, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدَهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ وَلَا تَنْحَرْهُمَا وَقُلْ لَهُمَا قَوْلًا كَرِيمًا وَاخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا. Very beautiful portion. Well, Allah, he says, and your Lord has decreed that you do not worship any except him, and that you be good. But the word ihsan, it really means that you perform at your best. You be excellent. And this excellence is connected to beauty. Like if we look at a masterpiece of someone like Michelangelo, or if we listen to a symphony orchestra, it's beauty, but there's an excellence to it. There's a refinement to it. There's a quality of excellence that makes it beautiful. That's ihsan. So God is really saying, have that type of treatment of your parents. But he says, if one or both of them reach old age, do not say to them, they translate it as a word of disrespect. The word in the Quran is uf, alif, dhamma, fa, uf. Do not even say to them uf. What it means is like when we, like in English, the old timers, you say, don't suck your teeth or smack your teeth. You say, it's like in Arab, in that culture, that was the equivalent of that. You know, like you're making this sound like, oh, I don't want to do that, or get out of my face. That's how we do it in this culture. In that culture, they'll say, uff, uff, or they'll say, something like that, with a gesture of the hand. Allah say, he's saying, don't do that. And do not push them away, but speak to them in a word, qawlan karima. And it's interesting. Now, this is 1723, this qawlan karima, a word that is honorable. Mind you, this is the same surah that when the Iblis challenged man, he asked Allah, is this the one that you have honored above me? Karamta? You have gave him, you karamta, you've given him honor? And in the same surah, Allah says, لَقَدْ كَرَمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Indeed, we have made noble and honorable the sons of Adam. So this word, karama, is used several times in this surah. And a part of the honor and dignity of the human being, or that comes to the human being, is respect for his lineage, respect for his mother, his father, his grandparents, his aunts, and his uncles. And we can really see that any time, this has actually been documented, any time a society loses that respect, like Imam said, the language that we have from Imam Muhammad, sacred life connections. These are one of them, the connections of family. Any time we lose a sense of giving honor and the proper dignity and respect to our elderly, particularly our parents and then from them, that is really a real symptom of a society on its way out the door. So God made us noble and honorable by virtue of our connection to Adam, and that honor stays with us as long as we remain in the form of life that he created for Adam. And Adam was a father. Adam was a father. Adam had his mate, and then his descendants carried on that. They became the sons. In this line of respect and dignity and nobility, it follows from that. But to stay to this, Allah says, speak to them a word that is honorable and lower to them the wing of humility out of mercy. And that's why I wanted to start with mercy, because of this verse. That the that when the parents are older and they're becoming weaker, because Allah also says this in the Quran, He brings us forth as babes, we reach the age of full strength, then we go back down to being helpless, and some of us knowing little after having knowing much. So just like in the ancient times, this was known as the dawn, the noontime, and then sunset. These three dominant phases, the sunrise, noontime, the sun at its zenith, sunset. Well, these were understood as just the phases of life. And the, when we were in the dawning of our life, we had to be cared for. And then we, when we reach our full strength, we have to care for those who are going to the end of their life, who are really, in a lot of ways, like my wife, for example, and her family, her grandmother. Her grandmother is the one who came into Islam. She's the one who brought the whole family into Islam. So my wife, all her siblings, her mother, her grandmother, but her mother's the one, her grandmother's the one that came into Islam. But she's at that age now of needing to be cared for, and her mother is practically with her daily. Some of her siblings, my wife has gone out to visit her daily. That's just what it is. This is of immense importance. So much so, I'm going to read a few reports from the Prophet about it, because this is the doorway to paradise. This is one of the doorways to paradise, simply caring for our transitioning parents and family. Okay, so he says, so the verse says, lower to them the wing of humility from mercy and say, my Lord, have mercy on them both as they raised me up when I was young. So that's the conclusion of it. Now, mind you, this first part of the verse says, and your Lord has decreed that you worship none except him. So everything that we do really should be rooted in our service to Allah, our devotion to Allah. But just as it is in the Bible, what follows from that very serious exhortation to be devoted to Allah is the first right, like who has first rights is our family. Now let's go into some practical things. And what I'm talking about now is the care. Everybody has rights in Islam. For example, our Prophet, he said, the young should initiate the salutation to the old. The passerby should initiate the salutation to the one that's sitting. The small group should initiate the salutation to the large group. So this idea, the first part that I read, that the young should initiate the salutation. In other words, what it means is when I come into a room or when I'm walking down the street or in any scenario, I should extend the greeting to the elderly one first. And if you all are writing, taking notes or anything, we should reflect on why that is. And our Prophet, he said, prayers and peace be upon him, it is out of reverence to Allah to respect the white-headed Muslim, meaning the white-headed meaning the one who has aged. And then he said, prayers and peace be upon him, he is not one of us who does not show mercy to our young and esteem our elderly. And then he also gave instruction. If we have guests in our home or if we're having an event at our masjid, when we serve the food or serve the drinks, we give priority to our elderly first, and then we work our way down. So why am I saying all of this? I'm just saying this to give evidence after evidence after evidence. When they were having meetings and they were taking shura as a group, the Prophet, prayers and peace be upon him, said, let the eldest among you speak first. So there is a strong tradition in our religion of simply caring for or giving respect to, I should say. I started with mercy, then we talked about honor, and now I'm speaking about just general deference to the elderly, to our parents. But notice how the verse goes. The parent says, Allah says if one or both of them attain old age in your life. So this is really focusing on the time where we have to care for them. So let's circle back around a bit. Why does Allah say, Do people participate? I'm sorry. Can people give a, if I ask a question, can people unmute themselves and answer?
They can raise their hand and the watcher can acknowledge it.
Okay, because I have a question for everyone. If Allah says if one or both of them attain old age in your life, do not say oof. Do not, I'm going to put it in our term, do not smack your teeth. Why does he say in that, he doesn't say, oh, children, don't say oof to your parents. He says if one or both of them attain old age in your life, do not say that. Why would that be put there?
Brother Michael, I mean, you can take yourself off of mute.
As-salamu alaykum, Imam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
It's out of disrespect. It's out of respect. It's disrespectful to show any signs of not respecting the fact that this person has longevity and has met certain challenges in life that we haven't, and then to disrespect that. But even a facial expression, you know, we don't want to do that.
Yes, true. First of all, it's good to hear from you, Brother Michael. I'm very glad.
We're going to take three more answers, and if no one says my answer, then I'll say mine last. Sister Latifah.
Okay.
Make it short.
Because we as adults, we're still supposed to respect our parents. It's not just as children we do it. As-salamu alaykum, Imam.
So let me add a little something. I know we have a time thing.
I have an answer too, Brother Imam. But
okay. But let me just paint this picture and everyone jump in. Imagine yourself taking care of your parent. This is your parent. Like right now, I heard this old joke from a comedian. Me and my wife, we'll call our children all the way upstairs, like, hey, go get us some water. The child doesn't want to do it. It's like, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Okay, so I'm going to just give that as a little hint. So keep going. I'm sorry. I know Sister Martin.
I said three, so let Muhammad respond, and then I'll give an answer.
Okay.
As-salamu alaykum, Brother Imam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
My take on it is that because the elders, they have years of experience, they have knowledge, and they can guide us in areas in which we have yet to learn. That's my take on it.
Okay.
So now I gave three, like I said. Is there anyone else before I give my answer? Because I have a different answer. Okay. So for me, if I ask one of my children to do something and they say that to me, it literally breaks my heart because I don't feel appreciated that I've given all my life to you. And I ask you to do something for me, and you make me feel bad for asking you.
Right.
It breaks my heart.
Okay, good. So that's the mercy side. When you all, so all these are good. So let me chime in, and then I'm going to go back. It's hurtful. It breaks, yes. Especially for, I think, mothers, you know, it breaks the heart. There's another element here. And again, this is 1723. Remember that our religion is very natural. So everything you all are saying is true. Like it's natural for us to say, what, this little kid is disrespecting me? I'm saying like in our regular walking around, a little child disrespects us or a young person. Naturally, we're saying, what? Let alone our children. Parents, a lot of them, that's why I gave the little, maybe I didn't give it clear enough, but a lot of times the parents will still deal with you like a child, like you're their child when you're caring for them. They're your parents. And they will still, I mean, I've seen this, I'm sure some of you have seen, not all of them, but Allah is saying, remember your place. And it's a challenge for us. Because when we're a lot of us, when we have to, I haven't gone through it yet. I've seen my mother go through it and my stepfather. A lot of us are reached that point to care for our parents when we have a lot of things going on. We're in the age of our strength. And the parent is still, you're still their child. So they may say, boy, go get me some water. And you just change their diaper. or something, not that diet, but you know, like they used to have to change my grandfather or my grandmother, I think both. This is life. In other words, this is a time that we actually will be tested. It's very easy to lose our patience. It's very easy to lose our cool. It's saying don't do that, period. It's saying don't do that, period, at all. But the way the language is framed, it's saying even in this, when they're in their old age and they're dependent upon you, they still have a parental right over you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what you all were saying. You all were saying that. I'm just adding to it. And then the fact about it is the other side, I think what was given regarding the it hurts, the hurtfulness of it, that's the flip side of it. Because I am a parent, I can say this much, because we are in the parental mind, though we may say, boy, go get me some water, that love is so deep. Everything that we're doing in relation to our children, if we're healthy, it's at a deep level. It's coming from a level of love. So how do we? So going back to the main topic, the guidance of that, there's really nothing specific how you should do this or that act. It's really given under this broad banner that we're addressing now. We know that Allah has first rights, and Allah with first rights has decreed that we give our parents and our elderly the utmost respect. And he puts this verse in a certain context. He says that the child lowers to them the wing of humility for them, and he actually says, my Lord, give them mercy. So what is the child doing for that elderly parent that they're caring for? He's praying for them. So another, not only do we refrain from disrespectful speech, but also a lesson, we are supposed to be praying for our elderly parents. That's the care we're to give them. And then it's connected to, because they raised me up when I was young. So it's really relating the care, the person that's caring for their parent, the elderly, they're relating it to the fact when they were young. The person that's praying, they're relating it to when they were young. So it's really left general. Why? Because we all know what comes along with when we're a child. We come off, we can't feed ourselves, we can't clothe ourselves, we can't cleanse ourselves. So all of these things that our caretakers or our parents did for us, we have to, in the same spirit of mercy, be prepared to do that for them. And do that for them in a spirit where we don't complain. We don't say to them any word of disrespect, but we're doing that and at the same time praying for them, for God to have mercy for them, as we do it. Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't know. This is 10:30. We go to 10:30, Auntie?
You have until a quarter of 11.
Okay, so.
Well, I do want to open it for questions, but I want you to finish your talk. No, don't
drop.
Yes,
ma'am. So this is like really the summary point. Where we tend to lose track, in my opinion, in Islam, we think about getting closer to God by saying a lot of prayers, by fasting a lot, saying a lot of dhikr. And I don't knock any action that a person does or decides to do because they get close to God. But what we're talking about now is not an easy thing at all. Caring for people, withholding, this carries so much. This verse carries so much. Remembering God, caring for our parents in an excellent way, refraining from saying anything that can be interpreted as disrespectful to them, and only speaking to them in honorable terms, and then praying for them, and then caring for all of their needs like they cared for us when we were babies or when we were young children. And again, that's left general because we know the full range of that. And I'm familiar with Muslims too. Their parent lived with them. They cooked for them. They did everything for them. This is the real spiritual life. The real spiritual life is expressed in our service to human beings, And those who have first rights over us, who we are to serve first, are our children, are our parents. In other words, our spirituality is to be seen in community service. And I do believe that Muslims lose touch with that. Meaning what? The man Muhammad, praise and peace be upon him, that we follow, we know him as a practical man who had his deep connection with God, but those deep things, they're reported that he did in the night, like standing up throughout the night praying, waking up in the middle of night reciting Quran. He did that in the privacy of his home. But how did he live the religion in a way that beautified the world? He did these things that we're talking about right now. He cared for his wives. He swept the floors. He went shopping. He visited the sick. He was very gentle. And I think that as I'm looking at Islam in America, this side of who that human being was as the seal of the prophets needs to be given more focus. And if we can implement these practical things, it would make our homes better, our families better, our communities better. And ultimately, we believe that it will really requisition God's direct help to us in our life because we're serving his word in the plain common sense way for the betterment of all people. That's what God loves. So I want to open it up there for any questions or comments, observations.
Go ahead, take yourself off of mute, Mahasan, and make it short so we can get as many questions in as possible. Mr. Mahasan? Marsha, do we have any other questions?
So I don't see any in the chat.
Okay, if you have a question, please raise your hand so we can acknowledge you.
Can you hear me now?
Oh, okay.
All right, thank you. Sometimes I have technical issues.
No problem.
Thank you, Sister Petra. Assalamu alaikum to everyone on the line, and especially to your guest this morning. This is a very, I'm going to repeat what you said, a subject matter dear to my heart. So I have sort of a question for Imam Rahman. I, too, had the blessing and benefit of caring for my mother 3 years and 1 year into hospice with her. What an experience. But as I moved into a more professional coaching zone, encouraging the development of senior care, et cetera, I noticed a phenomena that keeps getting repeated to me, Imam Rahman, and that the more dedicated and committed we are to showing up as caregivers, there seems to be a phenomenon of our ancestors, our parents, quote unquote, I'll say this, I don't want it to sound strange, visitation with us in our concept of caring and dedication that expands our capacity by Allah's lead to give good care and beautify the world, as you say. Are you getting any feedback in this area? Or is there any specific guidance you can give?
Thank you.
You said as you are working in that focus, what did you say? You said the parents are. Can you phrase that? And I want to make sure I heard you correctly.
Mr. Mahasan, raise your hand again so that I can take you back off of mute.
And please make it short because we have other questions. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, and I'll try to answer his question.
Sure.
So there's a phenomenon of presence of those who have gone before us that I keep getting feedback as I speak with clients that they're conscious of, and it brings back and enlivens memories of their evolution to the point of caring so much about caregiving.
So are these people who are themselves about to transition?
No, these are basically caregivers.
And they are experiencing the presence of those who cared for them?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, yeah.
And
okay.
An encouragement in any way into the work they are presently doing.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yes. I think I'm understanding what you're saying. That's the nature of the soul. The soul is connected to everything. It's connected to its own, like, so we all have our own experiences through our life that are in us. They never leave us.
Never.
But they just are lying dormant. In certain circumstances, bring those experiences out. And I think that it's if I'm hearing you, it's really beautiful because all of these things are in our soul. But the more we do, so the more we care for others, the more we give in charity, the more we sacrifice, the more whatever is in us, we have more opportunity to bring out this diverse range of experiences. So a lot of people just don't tap into that. Our parents and our foreparents never, in Islamic knowledge, they never leave us. So not only is it the experiences that we had with our mothers and fathers and grandmothers, the history of our people is never lost with us. That's a deeper level, but it's still in the soul of our people. And to the degree that we even want to care for the whole people, to the degree that we have an interest in resurrecting the life of the whole people, Allah will even open up to us the presence of even those that came before us, let alone in our own life. So I think that the people who are expressing that to you, there's a whole field of Islamic, there's a branch of Islamic spiritual science to help describe that, that whatever they had experienced was in their soul, it remains, and they're now in a work that's making it come back up. It's like pumping water, you know, groundwater. You know, like the rainwater comes, it soaks into the earth, and you got to pump it back up. So that's how it goes.
Michael, Hamid, take yourself off of mute.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. My question is in regards to Imam Muhammad sharing with us that the Nation of Islam was more than bean pies and newspapers.
Yes.
It was a language environment.
Yes.
And my question has to do with Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, says that we should seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave. My interest is in how do we establish a language environment that will help make us healthier and more productive. Some guidance in that regard.
Yes.
Thank you.
So the Nation of Islam, yes, it was a language environment to produce a very particular kind of fruit. The fruit, the product of the Nation of Islam language environment, his job was to take us to the Quran in its true essence and its pure communication and connect the communication of the Quran to that which the Quran is to be connected to, which is the reality of this world, the true nature of things as Allah made it. So the first discipline then is to follow the orientation in the thinking of the first fruit of Islam all the way to the Quran. And once we get in, so what am I saying, to put it in plain language? The students of Imam Muhammad have to really commit themselves to a discipline of forming their mind upon the pattern of where that language, the language that he's articulating, form your mind upon that pattern. And as the mind forms upon that pattern, it doesn't take you to Imam Muhammad. as I don't know if that's obtuse or not, too abstract, but that doesn't take you to Imam Muhammad. It takes you to the Quran. But it doesn't take you to the Quran as a book of ritual, as a book of just sounding beautiful. It takes it to the Quran as really the doorway to the universe. And this is fact. I'm not trying to be heavy. This is what it really is. And that, if you get off that train, it's like the movement is aborted. So that's what Imam was doing. He was giving us, as he said himself, everything I'm saying right now, I'm just not saying he said, but I'm quoting. He was giving us perception. He was taking us to the Quran. And the Quran, it opens up the whole reality. Once we get in touch with the whole reality, the reality of the universe, nature in its true sense, human nature in its true context and perception. Now our language reflects that. And this is how Adam was. He taught Adam the names of all things. There was no obstruction between the mind of Adam and God. God was his teacher through the world that Allah created. So the communication that Adam received was the communication Allah wanted him to have. So that's our next, that's the movement that we should be on. So I caution us, I mean, and I don't want to take this in too many directions, but I caution us for permitting or allowing other thought processes that are called Islamic. And they may well be Islamic, but it's not the process or the focus that Allah has selected for us. That's what's important. If I live in the Amazon rainforest, a way of Islamic this may be suitable for life there, but not suitable for life here, even though it be Islam. And we as the people who have been separated, as I was just going over this in my class before this hour, we were separated from the ability to manage our own life. We were robbed of our humanity more thoroughly than any other human group in the existence of the world. So because of that, we are more like Adam, like a baby. A baby doesn't know anything, has to be completely careful. That's what I mean. We're more like Adam, totally stripped down to the bare soul more than any other group. And just like Allah raised Adam up directly, that's the that's what Allah has chosen for us. And that's, you have to accept that. You have to believe it. If you can't wrap your mind around it, you have to just believe it and pray for understanding and pray for those who do get it. That's how we get God's blessing. So when Allah says, I am making in the earth a Khalifa, the reason why is I am making because this act is continuous. It happened then, it's happening now through this whole phenomena that you just explained from the time we were brought here all the way up to the first, all the way to now. God is in the process of making. So, and then the language will follow. The language will follow.
So I have a question in the chat. How should Muslims regard nursing homes?
Well, to be honest, there's really no tradition of it in our religion. The strong tradition in our religion is that we care for our own. We care for, so when our parents reach the age, you know, when they're unable to be by themselves, we care for them. So there's really no precedent for that in the history of Islam. That's a Western thing. It's a business concept, really, because in the history of the West, everything has been made a product. Now, a part of making everything a product, in order to do that, they had to separate family. There's no such thing. You hear these Republicans or conservatives, the nuclear family is the greatest invention of one of the greatest things, and they claim to be pro-family. The nuclear family is relatively new. Those people who came from Ireland and Italy and Germany, let alone from Africa, us from the South, we never had no nuclear families. It was auntie, grandma, everybody was there. So in that context, it wasn't even a question of should you send your parent away. Somebody would care for them, or everyone would share and take a turn. So the first thing they did was break us into nuclear families. And now we're just singles. We're not even nuclear families anymore. So no, I wouldn't support that. Now, we do believe Islam is a religion that does believe in adjusting to the conditions of society. So many of our elderly, our pioneers, they live in families. The families are not Muslim. And I know, like, for example, here in Atlanta, you'll have several elderly people. They'll all live in a particular area together at least. And I know that there's some efforts among us to have senior living facilities that are Muslim. Because of our unique circumstance, I'll be in full support of that, you know, because of the fact that, like me, if I was an elderly person and all my children are, you know, God knows what, man, no, I don't want to be around them. I know we have elderly people in our community. They told me, like, I don't even want my children to inherit. They're going to squander it. I want to give it to the Muslims. So that, in other words, our circumstance has to be respected. So I would say that, too. We have to be realistic.
And so I have another – I'm actually going to combine these two questions. One, you partially answered. And that was, what if you don't have family to take care of you? I feel like what you just addressed touches that. But then the part B to that would be, what if that caring for someone else is so overburdening? What
are
you in that
circumstance? Yeah. I mean, I want to be cautious because, you know, I've studied to some degree Islamic law. And one of the things that you learn in the classroom is that there's just no broad brush ruling for anything. You got to look at it on a case-by-case basis. So that's just important. So the person would have to sincerely assess their own circumstance, take it to God, and permit Allah to guide them. So, like, I'll give you sort of a personal example. I mentioned my mother-in-law and her mother. Well, my mother-in-law, she wants to take care of it. She just physically can't, like the physical strength. Like, we have had a sister. She moved here relatively recently. She's like my wife's aunt. We call her aunt, but she's, you know, she just grew up with her. She's not blood, but she like falls every week, and her husband is there to pick her up. And if she falls, we would have to go over there and pick her up. Like, that's a real thing. But some people, like when, like my wife's mother in that age group, she just can't pick her up anymore. You get what I'm saying? So something as simple as that. And sometimes people have fallen, Muslim sisters mainly, I'm not aware of any brothers, they can't even get to the phone. So it's better say, look, we need you in a place where, you know, they can look after you, and we'll check on you daily, we'll talk, et cetera. So it's a case-by-case thing, you know, and I'm saying it like, I'm giving it like this because I want to be cautious. I know a lot of times many of our community members are really good believers, and they have really good intentions. Because of that, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up because we just want to be right. You know, we want to do what's right, and that's a good thing. So knowledge is mercy. You know, we have to know that when it comes to these types of questions, there's no one-size-fits-all. Allah is merciful, so you have to look at your situation, your circumstance. And then at the same time, it puts pressure on us who are still mobile and able to do things. It puts pressure on us to heighten the awareness of our needs and to put actual action, to get into action to address this need. So that's where we are. That's where it should be.
Mahasin, we're going to recognize the ILM Foundation. But Imam, also, we're talking about caring for our parents. But here in Washington, D.C., many of the community members step up to help care for others' parents, aging members. So we see ourselves, and I know that many communities do. I know that in Greensboro, North Carolina, and other, we see ourselves as one big family, even in Atlanta. And so although it may be somebody else's mother, we still play some part in helping to care for that aging member, especially those who we know may not who have those kids that they don't want to care for them. So I think that that's important that the community understands that they have a role in helping as well, if their situation and circumstances permit that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. That's important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So can we recognize ILM Foundation? I don't know who that is.
I believe that's our brother from California. If you can take yourself off of mute.
Okay. Oh, yes, that's Naeem Jr.
Assalamu alaikum.
He's in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Please, welcome.
How you doing? How you doing, Sister Fitcher?
Alhamdulillah.
Imam Rashad, I got a quick question. May Allah bless you for the beautiful presentation.
I
wanted to know in terms of what's the consequences of not caring for our parents.
Imam Rashad, before you answer, you need to know Imam Naeem. Imam Naeem is the son of Imam Naeem Shah Sr., who is a pioneer in California, and he is now in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. So he's calling us from Saudi Arabia.
Alhamdulillah.
And we welcome him and his family. So please, that's a we didn't think about that, Naeem.
That's a blessing.
There's some weight to it, but it's simple. It's simple but weighty. You know, there's a hadith of our prophet, praise and peace be upon him, where a woman, I'm just going to sum it up, where a woman who was a prostitute earned paradise for just for caring for a cat. So just leaving it there, that's what I mean why it's weighty. It's simple, but it's weighty. The logic there then, if we neglect our parents out of the spirit of neglect, that's what I mean, if we reject that, I wouldn't want to be near you in the judgment. Only Allah knows. But we know teachings of the prophet, teachings of the early the companions, that's just as caring for the parent is the doorway to paradise, willful neglect of them is the doorway to the fire.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, going back to that term mercy, there's sound hadith where the prophet, he says this, but this is a Qudsi hadith, but it's in Bukhari. Where God, Allah, he says, he relates his name, Ar-Rahman, to Rahim, to the womb. And whoever severs the tie with the womb or the ties of relationship, God severs relationship with them. So we have traditions like that. So it's to be severed from God, some thinkers in Islam have gone so far as to say that's worse than hell. Like, that's like the lowest level. At least in hell, you can be redeemed and brought out. To just be totally cut off and non-existent is worse. That's philosophical. Those are opinions. But, yeah, that's completely un-Islamic. So I would advise us, and I know people like this personally, who have cut themselves off from their parents, and their parents are older, you know, their baby boomer generation. And I have seen it deform their nature. It's deformed them. So I bear witness to the truth of that hadith, and I ask Allah to guide those persons back. So I think that's good.
Sister Bahija?
Assalamualaikum.
Waalaikum assalam.
I'm also a member of Atlanta Masjid, Amen.
Yeah.
You said Atlanta Masjid?
Yes.
Okay, alhamdulillah.
What I wanted to say was somewhat of a statement from what the first sister has said.
Yes.
As far as with the ancestors coming.
Mm-hmm.
When I was helped taking care of my father when he was in the hospital, my aunt who I helped take care of to her last days, was there supporting me. I just like hearing everything that she was telling me, what to do to help him the same way I did her. But then also when I get sick, the way that I felt when my father needed certain things, I try to do differently when I ask my kids to go and do things for me. So they won't feel the same way I did at that moment, like you were saying, that we don't feel like doing it. Mm-hmm. Or it was just why we have to always do it. Mm-hmm. I always try to say please to them and make sure I say thank you to them so they know that I know they don't want to do it, but they're doing it for me and I appreciate it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. Thank you, Sister Bahija.
Yeah, thank you for that.
And we make dua for your father, that he be forgiven his sins and be in paradise, because
Amen.
He was one of our iconic pioneers in this community. Donnie, take yourself off of Mew. I know you're not Donnie anymore, but you'll always be Donnie to me. I grew up with that. You're on mute, Donnie.
Yes.
I'm not. Oh, assalamu alaikum. Can you hear me?
Waalaikum assalam.
I took care of my mother. It's 10 of us.
Mm.
And it was 9 of us, 8 of us really took care of my mother. Our parents when they was in their old age. At 93, my mother took her shahada. And she always taught us one God. I heard someone say if your parents wasn't Muslims, you're not supposed to pray for them to make paradise. I pray every day for my parents and my grandparents to make paradise, and my mother-in-law and father-in-law that respected our religion. And my mother taught us, don't go in the religion praying. It's a true religion.
Mm.
Is it false not to pray for them, paradise?
I would... Abraham was forbidden from praying for his father because his father was an idol maker.
Mm-hmm.
And Abraham had brought him the truth, and his father rejected him and kicked him out. And then he still said, well, I'll pray for you. Hey, even though you're kicking me out and rejecting the truth, I'll still pray for you. And then Allah told him, well, just, you know, turn away from this. So poor parents were people of faith, and they were people who were, it's amazing how many of them survived and made it through everything that they made it through and still had faith. The idea that we shouldn't pray for our righteous foreparents, I mean, we have some foreparents who are some son of a guns too. I mean, nothing is perfect, you know, like, oh, that's my uncle used to kill everybody. But I don't think you're talking about that. You know, I wouldn't even listen to that, to those people who talk like that. You know, sometimes if it's good, if it's a good act, this is an Islamic teaching. If it's a good act and your soul is impressing upon you to do it, when you don't do it, you actually wrong your soul. You don't have to find a text per se, because as our prophet said, praise and peace be upon him, What is lawful is clear, and what is unlawful is clear. In between that, there are gray matters. But he ends this hadith with the report about consulting the heart. So you should be, we should be always in consultation with the best of our human sentiments, the best of our human sensitivities. And I'm aware of stories of younger Muslims, very similar, who cared for their Christian grandparents, had a relationship with their Christian grandparents, and they were told by others to cut that person off. But in, like, at the age of 90, 80, that same person who they, if they would have cut them off, what occurred wouldn't have occurred, which is that they end up becoming Muslim. So I'm not saying care for them for that purpose, to make them Muslim, but I'm saying that's what they call it, rubbish. That stuff is rubbish. You know, those people, the like Imam told us one time, the people of the world, even the Muslim world, they can't help themselves. The white world presented us a certain way, and whether they know it or not, they see us through the lens of how the white world presented us. And that lens dictates that we are to be told what to do. And our thoughts should not be our own thoughts. We should be following the thoughts of others. And unfortunately, a side effect of that, or a part of that, is that among us are people who think that way too.
That's right.
Among our own people. So they'll sometimes be harder on us than the people from other parts of the Muslim world. So I would ignore all of that. Yes. So I said all that just to say yes. Keep praying for the good people in your life who raised you and blessed you and every, you know, and all of that.
And I don't want to miss the point that she said that her mother at 93 took Shahada.
Right.
I don't want to miss that, because that reminds me of the story of Abraham coming down from the, Moses coming down from the mountain and seeing his people worshiping the cow again and asking Allah to destroy all of them. And Allah said, well, no, what about those who will hear the message and become believers?
Right.
So to me, that's a perfect example. And I just want to say that in my mother's transition, and I took care of her, that at 81, I said to my mom, Mom, I explained to her what Shahada was, and she turned to me and said, I want to say what you have said. And I'm Imam Talib, and his wife was there, and Imam Talib at 81 years old gave my mother Shahada.
Oh, wow.
It brings me to tears just the thought of it. So we have one more question. It is 11 o'clock. Sis Aziza, please only ask a question, no statements. Sis Aziza, go ahead, Sis Aziza. Welcome. Take yourself off of mute, Sis Aziza.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
I did want to make a short statement, though. It's very good that a lot of places, and in Florida where I am, they have these things now that the government is to having family members, paying family members to take care of their elderly at home. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, every family I know has somebody that's not working. So they don't pay that much. But I think that's a good investment of knowing who's taking care of your mother. Then you could your parents, then you could come in later just round the clock at your convenience. So that way she will be taken care of. Mm-hmm. And that's a part of the government program of Medicaid, Medicare, and all of that. They sign up relatives to do that for their parents.
I think that was a very good point, and we're going to close on that. Sister Aziza, first of all, I want to thank you, Imam Rashad, always.
Thank you.
It's listening to your lecture is always so relevant for me. It's and so I do want to conclude by saying that NORC, Imam Rashad, is coming to your town for the weekend of October 4th through the 6th. So you want to participate and get more of this one-on-one conversation with him. So again, Imam Rashad will be in NORC for the weekend of October 4th through the 6th. And if God blesses me to be here, I will be joining because I don't want to miss out on what he's going to say at these at this weekend event. So again, Imam Rashad, thank you so very much. I know
you
leave us. Please give your family our regards. And we look forward to you in 2025 bringing us more of what Allah says in the Quran, the instructions that he has given us, so that we can know it and strive to obey it.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
And thank you for having me. I appreciate it always.
Always. It's always good to have you.
Yes, ma'am.
So let us conclude by saying that next week we will hear from Malika Moore. She is a clinical social worker and geriatric care manager. And she's going to talk to us about hospice. When is it needed? Why is it necessary? And if you're not receiving the schedule, the weekly schedule, the Study Al-Islam schedule, please visit studyalislam.com and become a subscriber. Also, you'll be able to listen to this again next week. You can hear the lectures on studyalislam.com. They are no longer on the newsletter. They are now on the website. And you can go there and hear them again. I would strongly suggest that you invite your family to listen to some of these, your children. These are messages that are so relatable. And so don't miss out on being able to invite your kin folks to hear these lectures. And just so before we close, just so you know that at the end of the month, we are going to encourage you to invite all your family, especially your non-Muslim relatives, on washing and shrouding our loved ones when they're transitioned. Because so many of them have questions, they don't understand, they want to participate. And this is going to be an opportunity to hear the explanation as to why and how and who can participate. So with that said, I'm going to ask Imam Omar to close us in prayer. And again, it is always, you know, an honor to be here with you. I don't take these moments for granted because when my mother transitioned, a part of me went with her. And so I know that I have one foot here and one foot in the grave. And I hear her calling me often. And I'm, you know, I think that it's just what it is. As Imam Rashad said, they never leave us. And she's not here with me. She's not. She's in another place. And so.
She's in your soul.
Yeah. Excuse me?
She's in your soul.
Yes, she's in my soul. And she's calling her baby to a better place than this life. So with that said, Imam Omar, and thank you for that. With that said, Imam Omar, I want to just share this one quick story. So when my mom transitioned, before my mother transitioned, Naima was getting married. And my mother was completely paralyzed. And I'm an only child, and we had a very special connection. And so my mom, I said to my mother, Mom, are you going to come to Naima's wedding? And my mother, who was completely paralyzed and could not hardly speak, even when she took Shahada, she said, yes. Mm-hmm. So my mother transitioned 3 days before Naima passed. So Naima got married on Saturday. We had my mother's janaza on Sunday. Christian woman at the Y said to me, my mother left so she could be there. Oh. I mean, she was completely paralyzed. And they said, my mom left so she could keep her word to me and be there. And with that story, I tell you, Naima just texted me and said every time she hears that story, it brings tears to her eyes. With that story, it makes me smile. So to all of you whose mom have transitioned or your father or a loved one have transitioned, they have not left you. They are calling you to a better place. May Allah grant us protection. May he continue to guide us, love us, and have mercy upon us. With that, Imam Omar, could you please kindly close us out?
Yes. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban. O Allah, give us the excellence of this world and the excellence of the next world, and save us from the torment of hell fire. Ameen.
Ameen. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, men, this is your time. Maybe you didn't choose this, but you're here now. You're going to go out there and be an all-star caregiver. It's up to you. So what are you going to do? You're going to go grocery shopping, cook, clean, be there emotionally and physically. You got to dig deeper. Drive them to physical therapy, doctor's appointments. Don't you forget about the pharmacy. No, you won't, because that's what caregivers do. Don't give up. Don't ever give up. This is your time to show the world, your family, and yourself that you're tougher than tough. Now go out there and be the best caregiver this world has ever seen. Caregiving is tougher than tough. Find the care guides you need at aarp.org/caregiving. A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. We begin with Allah's name, most merciful benefactor, most merciful redeemer. I bear witness there is no God save Allah alone, and that there is nothing worthy of worship or praise except Almighty God Allah. And I further bear witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is indeed Almighty God's most humble servant and most noble and generous messenger. All the praise is due to Almighty God Allah. We are grateful to hear from our beloved Imam Rashad on the importance of caregiving. I see we have a hand raised. We've got about 20 minutes of air time left. If there's any statements you would like to make or questions, please be succinct and brief and get right to the point. And we are grateful for everyone's participation on Study Al-Islam. I'm opening up the mic of 314-833, my beloved brother Mark Shaheed. Assalamu alaikum. Mark, you are not being heard. It's very, very, very distorted. If you would hang up and call back in, inshallah, we may have a clearer reception. Please hang up and call back in. Praise be to Allah. Okay. Air code 904456. Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to Study Al-Islam.
Alaikum assalam. Michael Hameen, Jacksonville, Florida. And I was listening in on the Zoom line to Imam Rashad's presentation. And it brought to my mind Imam Muhammad telling us that as followers, we need to look for inspired leaders and the reminding the importance of holding on to our development, the way that we came, and not be distracted by those who would call us away from that development and call us away from what that development instilled in our souls as an obligation. And I'll stop with that. Thank you, Imam Hamid.
Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Almighty God, Allah. Thank you. Thank you, Michael Hameen. I'm opening up the mic of 727-408. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you. Please state your name and where you're calling from, please. I'm sorry, but your call is very distorted. If you would hang up and call back in, maybe we will have a clearer perception. I know this is Bilal, the Lord, so please hang up and call back in. We truly wish to hear from you. Okay, Brother Mark Shaheed is back with us. Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shaheed.
Alaikum assalam to you, Kareem Hameed. Is this any clearer or not?
Yeah, very clear. Praise be to Allah. Very clear, my brother.
Okay. I don't know. I'm just hearing the static even on my end here, so it could be with the lines here. But alhamdulillah, praise and thanks belongs to Allah. I just want to say how much I enjoyed that presentation by my mentor and teacher, instructor, Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman, and particularly that he used the Quran and what it is that God says in terms of the disposition that we should have, the demeanor that we should have for our parents. And actually, I think in terms of the natural instinct, Kareem, that is innate in us in terms of our soul. The bonding that actually happens, when we are doing the best that we can as parents, that bonding, it's the word talking, just building on natural development and nurturing the growth in our children, where they reach the age of maturity, and all. That's not in terms of just physical, but all the other components that comprise the holistic human being. So it becomes a natural development that as our parents get older and everything, that mercy that Imam Rashad Abdul Rahman was speaking about, that mercy naturally is there, innate. And when the situation conditions call for it to emerge, it becomes just natural to show that. And then, now we have the opportunity to do for them what they did for us, unrelenting and all. So that was very touching. And also what Fetcher said about her mother, I was blessed 2 years ago. It was the historic conference we had in Chicago. And Fetcher Muhammad made sure I got a front row seat. And so who was I sitting by? Naima, her daughter, and also her husband in that regard. And you can see that they was she was raised very well, because she kept checking with me, you okay, Brother Shahid, or what, you know, in that regard. So just the respect that we should have for our seniors, our elders, our pioneers, and all of this, this should be just traditional. And I know, Kareem, you can relate to the fact that the time we grew up, nursing homes wouldn't even be a consideration. It wouldn't even be a consideration. It wouldn't be an option, you know, in terms of that. Somebody in that family, and my mother passed away in 06, and so my brother Anthony Shahid, which you know, he took the lead, and his wife, and we all chipped in. But my mother passed in the family home environment. So that wasn't even a consideration, an option, the time that we came up. So I understand what Imam Rashad is saying, because it's case by case. But that mercy has to be shown in the utmost of respect, because after Allah says that the first obligation in regard to him is then our parents. So it's very clear in the Quran. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to at least express that, and because this is vital, not only for the sacred institution. I call it, it's a sacred institution because the law established you. You'll find it in Surah 25, 54 in the Quran. It's a sacred institution that Allah has established, and that comes, that relationship is only next to the relationship that we all established with our Lord and Creator. Thank you so much. As-salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum as-salam. Praise be to Allah. And you are so correct. The generation that I was formed in, my great-grandmother, she was never placed in a senior citizen living. She lived with my great aunt and my grandmother, my father's mother. She lived with us, and also my aunt. So that there was never a question on that. And in the Quran, Allah mentions, they use the word the mystic ties of blood relationship.
Yes.
But, you know, I choose to use the sacred ties of blood relationship. So it's an obligation upon us. Praise be to Allah. Yes, yeah, so we and Imam Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. May Allah forgive him his sins and grant him the home and the paradise. He described himself as, and his mission was for the salvation of humanity, in service to humanity. So that is our function. That is how we serve Almighty God. Allah, we must be in service to humanity. Thank you, Mark. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, Brother Kareem, real quick. I just wanted to say, when you mentioned about your great-grandmother, it brought to mind, that's the same scenario for me. My great-grandmother passed, right after I turned 4 years of age, and I remember distinctly that she lived the same house with my grandmother and my great-aunt, and they all took care of her. You know, so I was like, wow, when you mentioned that, it just brought to mind that my great-grandma, it was even no option. That's just what it is that we did. you know, see, so alhamdulillah. Thank you so much. I think that this is, I really thank Fitcher Muhammad for just devoting this whole month, you know, in regards to, you know, taking care of our parents. And, of course, both of my parents are deceased now, but still, that's an important message to and for all of us. Thank you. So we're at that age. We're at the age now where, where I depend on my children. I know you do too. And I often say we have to listen a lot of times to our children too, but just be gentle and show mercy. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Yes, my eldest daughter, she is my caretaker. Praise be to Almighty God, and she's a blessing to me and and our entire family. Praise be to Allah. I'm opening up the mic of 727-408. Assalamu alaikum. Please speak your name and where you're calling from, please.
Wa alaikum assalam. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Allah for parents. Alhamdulillah. Something I wrote I'd like to share. Forever prayer, tender love and care. Mother feeding and nursing, father providing, parenting is indeed a blessing. They give so we can live. Love a gift, our soul is uplift. They share and care. They provide us with education and the clothes we wear. Losing a lot of sleep, taking care of our needs, cleaning up our mess. Oh, we just was upset and we wanted the rest. Our parents, believe me, they deserve the best. Make sure we pass life tests. Obey them. Don't be a problem. Feel all obligation. Don't disrespect them when they need to have a conversation about improving our condition. See if we can love our parents like God loved his creation. In December, inshallah, I'll be 74. I regret not hearing too many of the things that I was told. They just wanted to light my load. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Bilal. Praise be to Allah for your words of inspiration. The model for us is our beloved Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. We know that the first rights go to our family, but it extends beyond that. When we look at the example of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we have heard the rendition of a woman that would always insult the Prophet Muhammad, would come in front of his house and curse him out, throw a garbage in front of his home. And the Prophet Muhammad never went outside and berated her or anything. And one day, this woman did not show up. She didn't show up because she did this routinely. Come and curse him out and throw garbage in front of his home and insult him. And the Prophet Muhammad inquired of her, where is she? How is she? And he was informed that she was ill. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, we pray the prayers and the peace upon him. He went to visit her. He went to visit her. He had a concern. So our care goes, his first family has first priority, but the rest of humanity has the rest of priority. We are to be in service to humanity. Praise be to Allah. And that is a good example of our Prophet Muhammad. We pray the prayers and the peace upon him. I want to, if there isn't anyone else, we got about 5 minutes left, and I don't want to go over. But this is so wonderful that we have this type of conversation. I am getting up in age now. Praise be to Allah, and I'm grateful to have a wonderful caregiver, my firstborn, my beloved daughter, and I'm grateful to her for seeing after her old man. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Okay, we have a return caller. Please be very succinct. We got about 4 minutes left.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be very succinct, Brother Kareem. You know, it reminds me of Luqman, Surah 31, in the advice that he was giving to his son as a parent. And it also shows, says, when it is that Allah is instructing that you are to disobey your parent, if they are actually commanding or ordering you to associate any partnership with the one God and all. But it also says in that to keep, you know, good relationship with your parent. You see, and that those ayats was sent to Imam Muhammad when he was in Sandstone, Minnesota, and everything was sent there. Now, I never heard Imam Muhammad say that W.D. Farad did it, but I have to think that he did in terms of his communication with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable First Lady, Sister Clara Muhammad. And I'll stop there. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay, thank you. Wa alaikum as-salam. We got one more caller. We got about, okay, Erico 323867. We got 3 minutes left. Yes, please state your name and where you're calling.
Alhamdulillah. This is Karam Muhammad from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And I was just listening to you telling the story about the prophet and preaching blessing of Allah be upon him. And I said to myself, I said, we really need to write our history. Because this is the second time that I was online, and here I heard the story, you know, like what you're saying about the prophet. And I heard the story, I heard that he was walking. He's always walked by this sister apartment, you know, and she threw stuff down from her apartment. And then, that's the story you, but then you telling another story about it was in front of his apartment. And then I hear another story about they was talking about Emmett Tibbs, and they were saying that he was just thrown into the river, you know, whistling at these Caucasian women. And then the thing about it is, well, what he had did, they caught him, hung him, and castrated him. So I said to myself, we really need the story. All this need to be written, because each time in the next generation, they might change it to something else. Alhamdulillah.
Praise be to Allah. Regardless to the narration, we want to get the message. The message was mercy. Praise be to Allah.
Right.
To humanity. Thank you, my sister. Praise be to Allah. And I want to invite everyone, if you would, to tune back into American Muslim 364 this next upcoming broadcast later on.
Assalamu alaikum. Join us each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 Eastern Standard Time and 4 to 6 Central Standard Time for the broadcast of the contemplations of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, sharing his insights, his wisdom, and his knowledge here on America Muslim 360, utilizing the books edited by Brother Morocco, Brother Ghani, and Brother Ronald B. Shaheed. So we look forward to your presence as we share the insight, the logic, and the thinking of our beloved Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad here on American Muslim 360 on a myriad of subject matter. We look forward to your presence. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillah. Praise be to Almighty God. Allah. Let me see. Now, I see we got several hands raised. And I'm at the end of the broadcast, but I'm going to open up this mic once more. All right, Mark, assalamu alaikum.
And this is real quick. You're absolutely right, Imam Kareem, in terms of the objective of the narration was mercy. But it has to be said that it did end with the sister taking the Shahada chain. Because the prophet lived the religion, and you'll find that in the Quran where Allah says that he repelled he said the way to repel evil was something better than, and the Prophet Muhammad exemplified that, and she took the Shahada chain. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Okay. Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, Mark. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. We must, as we were reminded, Allah reminds us of our humble beginning. We were helpless. We didn't bring anything with us from our birth, and our parents cared for us. If we remain cognizant of our humble beginnings, it is important that we remain grateful, shakir, that we remain grateful. Now someone else has raised their hand. I'm giving you 10 seconds. 810-936. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. Brother James Abdullah from Flint, Michigan. I would just like to say that the greeting, assalamu alaikum, peace be upon you. The devil has no more power. The devil has no more power over you than what you've given. If you accept the invitations of the devil, you gave the devil the power. That's why Muslims, we always try to keep, we always in a state of peace, a state of peace, assalamu alaikum, because that way you can solve any problems as long as you can keep the peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam. Thank you, my brother. Okay. We came to you with the greetings of peace. Of assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of Almighty God be upon you and upon us all. May we remember to purify our intentions, keep our hearts right, keep up our prayers, and never forget our humble beginnings. Deen means debt. As people care for us, we are to also extend our hand in helping humanity. I bring another voice of Abdul Rahman Hatim. We got to be thankful. Alhamdulillah.
Really? As I stumble down the stairs, tiptoe by the bedroom where my children used to sleep. 25 years later, I still pray my Lord their souls will keep. Grab my keys, grab my hat, and I head on out the door. Crank up my old pickup truck, get off the work I go. But I gotta be alright,
gotta be alright,
the best that I can. Try and make a difference, cause that's just who I am. I've gotta be strong,
gotta be strong,
and let a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful,
gotta be
grateful for my life, and all the things he's given me that make my life, for the warm rays of sunshine, the stars that light the night, friends that last forever, and my children and my wife. Now there's a little boy, he lives down the street, who wants to grow to be a man. But life is rough and the streets are tough, and he tries to understand. He say, mister, can you help me? Can you lend a helping hand? Tell me why the life's so rough. Can you help me understand? Well, I think about the days gone by, and I think my daddy said,
and the wisdom that he shared with me still lingers in my head. He said, you gotta be all right.
Gotta be all right.
You gotta do the best that you can. Try and make a difference. In any way you can, you gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But you gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
You gotta be grateful for your life and all the things he's given you that makes your life your life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and your children and your wife. Go back to colors, and I sing the day's last prayer, asking for his blessing for people everywhere, and our sons and daughters who fight in foreign lands, trying to make a difference for less than one. But they gotta be alright.
Gotta be alright.
They gotta do the best that they can. Try to make a difference. Any way they can, they've gotta be strong.
Gotta be strong.
And lend a helping hand along the way. Try and make a difference each and every single day. But they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
They gotta be grateful for their lives and all the things he's given them that make their life their life. For the warm rays of sunshine and the stars that light the night, and friends that last forever, and their children and their wives. Yeah, they gotta be thankful.
Gotta be thankful.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you, the peace that only Almighty God can give.